Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and worship you with other believers, Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to learn more about you and to become closer to you and become more like your Son. Father, you are glorious. Our human words cannot even express how wonderful and mighty and great you are, Lord. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice you made. Father, that death is defeated, that you do not treat us as our iniquities deserve. Father, but as far as the east is from the west, you have cast our sins from us, Lord, that we are completely covered in the blood of your Son. Father, we thank you for all of this. We ask that you would just have your hand on the rest of the service today, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you, Father, that we might become more like you. Father, we just ask that you would be glorified here today. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things.
Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. If this is your first time here at River of Hope, I want to take a moment to welcome you. I hope you have already received a warm welcome from everyone out in the foyer. Maybe you were able to get in on a cup of coffee from our Eurasia Cafe, which I have to say is still one of the best in town. And thanks to Kathy for running our Eurasia Cafe this morning. I have to admit it was very good. I can attest to that every Sunday. If this is your first time attending and you received a welcome card at the beginning, if you take that and fill that out, you can hand that, you can put that in the offering, you can hand that to whoever is manning our coffee bar each Sunday morning, and you are entitled to a free coffee drink. Everything that goes through that coffee bar as far as funds goes back to missions somehow. Whether it's the purchase of the coffee itself or the money that is donated into the product that we receive here, it goes back and it's turned into supporting missionaries. If you take just a real quick, I'm going to let you come up in just a second, Josh. This is a little bit different. This Sunday morning, we have a lot of kids in here. That's not normal for us. Usually, they're doing their own thing, making all kinds of noise in the back room and singing their hearts out back there, but it's always an honor to have them up here with us. It's another avenue of life just that eludes from them. I'm probably not using the correct words, but I think you understand what I'm saying, right? There's just a whole nother energy that comes when the kids are in here, right? So thank you, Josh, for letting them come in, and you'll know why that is in just a moment. We're going to be taking up our tithes and offerings here in just a second. You will see a envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you. You can utilize that for your tithes, your offerings, and any prayer requests you might have to get to myself. I didn't do this already, but I am the lead pastor, Jesse, so I'm sorry for not introducing myself earlier. I'm not used to doing this. I really am not, but Amanda is going to come up and help us with announcements after we pray to receive our offering this morning. So if you would bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just gather together and to proclaim, Lord, that you are God, that you are holy. We thank you for how good and perfect you are. How good and perfect your will is for us and for our lives, for the plan you have set before us. Lord, I thank you for the provision you've given each and every one of us. You've given us gifts and skills and supernatural provisions, Lord. And from that, we give back to you. And we just ask that you would take this tithe, that you would take this offering, that you would receive it and bless it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
So I just want to give a quick update on what's going on in Children's Church. From the beginning in Children's Church, we place a large emphasis on missions. I have a heart for evangelism. I want to see people saved. I want to see, hopefully, a few missionaries come out of our Children's Church. And so each year we raise money for a group called BGMC, which stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. We have a small church, and last year we did over $200. And I thought that was amazing. And so with this new year started, it was time for me to set our goal for this year. And I said $400. And God said, you're only going to go as big as you dream. He said, it's time to quit thinking with your own mind and I want you to have a God-sized dream. I said, okay, God, what do you want? What do you want me to set the goal at? He said, I want you to set the goal at this year at $1,200. And I said, okay, from 2 to 12, yeah, we can do that, sure. But he said, no, you're going to do it. And so I prayed about it. And I said, okay, we're going to go with this. And I brought it up to my kids at the end of December. I said, we're going to raise $1,200 next year. And this is how we're going to do it. And we gave them goals that they can hit. They hit $100 each month. They earn a goal. And we talk about what we're giving. Last week, we had the opportunity to use Skype and talk to missionaries in the Ukraine. And the boys bonded over Nerf guns, and they told us about the fact that the money that they're given to support them, that goes to buy their house, that goes for their car. They're able to learn Russian because of the money we gave. And I said to the kids, could you imagine how hard it would be to tell people about Jesus if you couldn't speak their language? And so we started this off, I said, $100 each month. As of last week, in the first month, these kids have brought in $109.25. And I am just so blown away. I've seen my faithful givers who come in week after week with whatever they can give. Today we talked about today out there I was talking to the kids and I said, you know, you remember the woman who gave her two mites? You know, if you're giving with a joyful heart back to God, that's what he wants. And I have one kid last week. Every week when we talk about tithing, he's talking about the new video game or the new movie he wants to buy. And then last week he comes in, he goes, Mr. Josh, here you go. This is $39. I'm not going to buy that movie. Give it to missions. I mean, we have a great group of kids. They are working so hard. They're giving with such a joyful heart. I wanted them to come up and talk, but they all chickened out on me. But that's okay. Last thing I want to say before we head out is this month, they've earned a Nerf War. So Friday, February 10th, from 6 to 8, we're going to have a Nerf War here. Parents, I would encourage you to take that time together, go out together, have a date night together. Your kids will be here. Go spend time together by yourselves without your kids. They'll be fine. The only thing I'd say is bring any and all Nerf guns you have that day. And bring, even if you have extra, bring extra. I'll get extra darts and bring along something for eye protection. But we're going to have a blast. And I want to thank all the parents for encouraging the kids, to remind them to bring in their money, to help them realize how important it is to give back to missions. Like I told the kids today, every day people die without knowing Jesus. And the only way that's going to happen is if people teach them. And if we're not going, we need to be sending. And the way we're going to send is by giving to BGMC. So thank you guys for all your support. Kids, let's head on out. We got lots to do today. So
let's give them another hand. I just think this is awesome. This has just been really encouraging and challenging me. And me and Pastor Jesse have had some conversations because we're feeling challenged to increase what we're doing. And we personally support the Kinnanens. They're not on our back wall yet, but we're working on putting all of the missionaries that we're supporting on our back wall, and I think we're at about 8. Is that right? So there's the Kinnanens. So we have decided to take on a family, and we're gonna be doing a missions focused Sunday coming up here to give you guys some ideas on how you can support missions in another way. So. Just a few announcements. This coming Wednesday, for those of you who have been coming to the Hope 101 on Wednesday nights, we lied. We actually do have more stuff we need to go through this coming Wednesday if you can make it. If you can't make it, talk with Pastor Jesse today after service, if you can stay just a second and he can touch base on anything that you might be missing that night. So we will be running another class in March, and I'm going to have a sign up out hopefully this next Sunday. So if you're interested in going through that class and hearing what we're about here, our vision, what we believe, interested in becoming a member, we're going to actually condense a 4-week class into a 2-week class, but do it on a Sunday after church, and we're going to provide lunch for you, okay? So it's going to be the first 2 Sundays in March, so if you can kind of take a look at your calendar and see if that works for you. And we'll have a sign up out soon. This announcement is for anybody that serves on our current Sunday morning volunteer team. So if you are on First Impressions, Coffee Bar, Children's Ministry, or Worship Team that you are currently rotating on each month, we are going to have a meeting following the service on Sunday, February 12th, so that it's in 2 weeks away, and we are going to feed you lunch, and it's going to be some awesome discussion. We're going to set up some round tables out there and have each ministry on a table, and we're going to talk some cool stuff. So make sure to plan to save that date and RSVP to me if you can make it, just so I can plan for lunch. Last announcement I have is Women's Conference is coming up in March, and we have, I think, over 15 ladies going this year, so I'm really excited about it. It's down in Appleton. And so if you did not get registered yet and you would still like to go, talk to me after service today, because I want to make sure every lady has an opportunity to go that wants to be there. The price goes up on Wednesday, so I want to try and touch base with anybody to make sure we get you registered before that price increase. And then if you are not able to go, or you are able to go, we also have some sponsorship opportunities available if you are interested in helping cover a registration for one of the ladies going. Talk with me today after service too. All right, thank you.
All right, so we are in our 4th week of our prayer and fasting series. We've been going off of Mark Batterson's Circle Maker series. So this is the last week of that message series. I first of all want to say, the light is at the end of the tunnel. Tomorrow is the end of our 21-day fast. All right, so we've got today and one more day to push through. I think by now, if you've already been committed and you're already fasting from something and you're spending your time in prayer, it's probably getting to the point where it's pretty easy now, right? You're not as worried about what you're doing, and you've kind of you're at the top of that mountain right now, you know, and you're just about to hit the summit. And so I just keep pushing through. Don't give up now. You got hold on, mental math, like 38 or 40 hours left, right? So let's push through this. Let's keep praying. Keep praying for whatever it is I asked you. And as we started this series, to write down some things that you were going to be praying about, that you felt God leading you to, whether it was the dream he's given you that you need to pursue, and you're trying to rekindle that passion within yourself to pursue that dream, or maybe you're praying for a healing, whether it's relationships or physical healing, or you name it, whatever it was that you wrote down to be praying for, keep praying for that, right? You'll hear this in the message a little bit later. Don't stop praying. It's always right at the end when you're ready to give up, right? That you just need to keep pushing through, and that's that last little step that you need to take to just get over that edge, and then pretty soon you just see things open and miracles happen. I want to thank everybody that's been participating in our prayer and fast. First of all, it's an honor for me to be up front and to speak to you guys each Sunday, but it's more of an honor to see you taking physical steps to increase your faith, and then to join us corporately in taking those steps together. praying for each other, praying for the church, praying for our leadership, praying for your community, for your leaders, your state, your nation. It really is an honor to know that we have a body of believers that is committed to lifting up others in prayer. So thank you. Last thing before I dig into this last message of this series, this past Friday night we had our volunteer appreciation dinner. And I believe, what was there, 29 or 30 people there who have volunteered either at some point during this year or all the way through the year. That's huge. I can't give you an exact number, but that's probably about 60 to 70%, if not more, of our adults who were there. And there were some who just couldn't make it. You know, so there's a larger number of people from this congregation that serve in one way or another. And I want to say thank you again. You know, we spent some time doing that on Friday night, and I hope those of you who were there really were feeling appreciated, because honestly, I don't know how to share how honored we are to have you guys serving and helping, and how blessed we are to have such skilled and talented people filling in and working in the roles that you're in. So thank you to everyone who volunteers from River of Hope. You guys make ministry week in and week out possible. You really do. So we are digging into to the Circle Maker series by Mark Batterson. I am using his notes, but I tend to follow rabbit trails, and you'll know when that happens because I stand less here and I'm all over the place. So let's dig into this morning. Before we do that, let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every person who is here today. Lord, you've brought us each here to this place for this time, for a purpose that we hope to see from you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, that your spirit would speak through me, and that anything that comes from my mouth would only be of you. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. On the Swedish island of Visingsö, now I believe I said that right. If I didn't, somebody can correct me. Swedish island of Visingsö, there's a mysterious forest of oak trees. Mysterious because oak trees aren't indigenous to the island, and its origin was unknown for more than a century. Then in 1980, the Swedish Navy received a letter from the forestry department reporting that their requested ship lumber was ready. The Navy didn't even know it had ordered any lumber. After a little historical research, it was discovered that in 1829, the Swedish Parliament, recognizing that it takes oak trees 150 years to mature, and anticipating a shortage of lumber at the turn of the 21st century, ordered that 20,000 oak trees be planted on Visingsö and protected for the Navy. That is thinking long. That is foresight, right? It's like, that story is amazing. For the record, the lone objector was the Bishop of Strängnäs. He didn't doubt that there would still be wars to fight at the end of the 20th century. He was the only one who anticipated that ships might be built of other materials by that time. One dimension of thinking long is thinking different. And prayer is the key to both. All right, so we've been following along this series, mainly focusing on prayer. And we've talked about praying bold. Today we're talking about praying long. Or thinking long. We've talked about praying long. Prayer doesn't just change circumstances. I need you to hear this. Prayer doesn't just change circumstances. More importantly, it changes us. It doesn't just alter external realities, it alters internal realities so that we see with spiritual eyes. It gives us peripheral vision. It corrects our nearsightedness. It enables us to see beyond our circumstances, beyond ourselves, and beyond time. It's not enough to just dream big and pray hard, right? It's not enough. You also have to think long. If you don't, you'll experience high degrees of discouragement. Now, this is something that can be all too common. We start praying for something, for God to do something within us and within our lives, right? And we might be pretty committed to the idea or to whatever it is we're praying for. Like right now, we're going through our 21 days of prayer and fasting, right? So maybe you've been more committed now in these 21 days of praying because you have a focused, you've set a goal, right? You've set, all right, 21 days, I'm going to focus and I'm going to pray. Okay, that's good. But we need to be willing and prepared to keep praying. We need to be willing and prepared to keep praying. You might know that when you begin to pray for something and like our 21-day fast, you've set that goal of 21 days. So at the end of 21 days, as you're praying and you just say, you know what, I really didn't feel like God did anything. It's really easy to get discouraged when you're praying for something. There's points in your time of praying where you just feel like God doesn't hear you. Or you feel like, you know what, maybe I'm not praying God's will and this really isn't going to happen. That's why we need to be thinking long. We need to be very broad-sighted when we are praying. So why do we experience high degrees of discouragement? Because we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in a year. Of course, we also tend to underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. The bigger the vision, the harder you'll have to pray, and the longer you'll have to think. But if you keep circling, it'll come to pass in God's time. If there's one thing you can write down this morning, is that last sentence. It will come to pass in God's timing. Right? We get to the point where we start praying and we start having these ideas and we just have these plans of how things are going to work out and how our praying for things are you know, it's going to be okay, 21 days at day 21 on the 12th hour, I'm going to be released of this. Or I'm going to, you know, we get this idea in our mind. But it will come to pass in God's time. Last week, I digressed a little bit from our notes, which I tend to do. And I shared a little bit of a vision, a dream that God gave me. More mental math. At least 7 or 8 years ago. God placed this dream within me to open a community center. Not just a standard community center, but something where you can offer something to the community, right? Maybe it will serve as a homeless shelter. But along with that homeless shelter, maybe it will be a training center where you have people coming in. Our culture right now is so technologically advanced that we tend to be hand skills deficient. Does that make sense? Right, we're losing our abilities to build and create and make things with our minds and with our hands. We could draw it all day long on a computer screen, but how do we make it into being? So the idea is that we can teach people real life skills, things that they can take, especially. You know, this is kind of tying in with homeless shelter idea. If people are homeless, they need a skill that can help them to progress out of that state, right? Now, I can't tell you this is for sure what's happening. This is just a dream that God has given me, so I'm trying to paint a picture for you. So maybe it would be a homeless shelter. Maybe it would be a skills training center. Maybe it would combine with a youth facility. I don't know what's all going to happen, but this is a dream that God gave me at least 8 years ago. And you know, there was a period of time in my life where I just kind of put that on the back burner because I knew it wasn't for right now. And in doing that, I took it off of the front of my mind and off of praying for it. And coincidentally enough, as how many of you know that you can live in a community and drive all over the community, and then one day you notice something that's been there forever, but you never saw it before? Have you ever had that experience? Like, whoa, where'd that come from? The building was like since 1930. I know they didn't just put it up. I had that experience here in town. I was just driving, and I saw this building. I said, it's maybe not the one God painted in my mind for that dream, but I said, that would be awesome, and it would work. There's some of you who know what that is and might call me crazy for just thinking that one, but I still think that someday, if this God really has this dream for me, that somehow he'll do what he needs to do for a facility. I'm at the point right now where I need to dig back into praying about it, because it's not something I just need to pray. You know, as God might, maybe God will continue to open doors, and maybe he's going to say, you know what, he's going to put me in relationship or connection with someone that can make things happen. What do they call those people? A mover and a shaker? Is that how that goes? People that just make things happen. God has ways of putting people in your path to make things happen. Now, if I'm not prepared in praying and seeking God's vision for what that facility is going to look like and what that ministry is really going to do and the overall purpose, then I have nothing to present to that person. And I might miss the perfect opportunity for someone who is a mover and a shaker to do what they do to provide that God's will would be done. But if I spend time praying and if I spend time seeking God over this dream and over this plan, he's going to begin to continue. That's true, because he already began, so he will continue working in me what he already began. Does that make sense? All right, I threw myself for a loop on that one. I don't feel like I have a timeline. I still feel like that is just one of these grandiose dreams that God has placed in front of me. And it'll come to pass in his time, as long as I am faithful in pursuing him and pursuing his leading. We're going to read from Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13 this morning. Caleb can put it up on the screen for us. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." I'm going to give you a little context about that. This really is a conversation between Daniel and his guardian angel. Okay, so just so you understand where these words are coming from, this is Daniel's guardian angel saying, this is what's happening and this is why it took me so long to get here. But can you imagine having a conversation with your guardian angel? I'm sure that would be interesting. It might be scary. It might be some sci-fi action thrill movie. I don't know. But it would be one of the most revealing conversations you can have when you get to heaven. It's to stand face to face and speak to your guardian angel. And you know, there's times right now where you can look back on your own life. And I would venture to say that this is true for everyone in this room. And maybe you don't see it right now, but maybe in a few years you'll look back and you go, okay, I was spared from this accident. Or I didn't get to go that weekend, but because of it, I was spared from this. Or maybe you're more like me. I as a full-time fabricator, I do stupid things all the time at work. This week, I was working with a lathe at work, so I'm turning actually plastic this time. Weird. I'm a welder, and I was working with plastic. So I'm turning this piece of plastic, and the problem with plastic, especially this type, is it just kind of galls up, and it creates this floppy mess of junk that stays on it. So I do the smartest thing possible. I go and I grab a file, and as I'm turning it, I got the file there, and I'm cleaning off that edge. But what happened is I slipped. And when I slipped, that file grabbed the lathe, and one half of it flew that way, and the other half stood in my hand. And now, you guys might not think that's all that crazy, but just stop and think about this for a minute. You've got something, you've got a piece of equipment. This is the first time my wife has heard this story, so... You've got a piece of equipment. This one was turning, I think I had it set at 700 RPM. I mean, that's a pretty good clip for working with the lathe. And then you have, it was actually a triangle file, so it wasn't just a flat one, it was a thick one. And so the thing just slips and pop, and I saw it fly. And I was holding this thing. I bet you it's a half inch thick. I mean, they're thick. So I shut it off, and I kind of start looking around, make sure the thing's not sticking in a wall or something, because you never know. I mean, it's flying pretty fast. And I find it laying on the floor, you know, so I went on my way. But things like that, where you know that could have turned out way worse than it did. You know, it could have been less of a scare and more of an emergency room visit from having a piece of a file sticking through your shoulder. Kind of an accident. We need to understand that we have protection, and God uses events and circumstances in our lives to guide us. And maybe it is literally you being spared to turn you back to Him. I know there are testimonies in this room of people who have had pretty severe accidents who have been spared and live to talk about it. But it will be one of our most revealing conversations when we get to heaven, is talking to our guardian angel and hearing about our own life stories and the battles that took place to spare us from ultimately our untimely peril. For some of us, it'll be an awfully long conversation. Maybe we really kept our angel busy. And I know that's true for many of us. That certainly was true of Daniel, our subject this morning. I can't help but wonder if maybe Daniel and his angel had a little side conversation about the little lion's den experience that has already taken place. It's kind of a funny thought, but at the same time, we can't even imagine what is happening around us outside of our earthly connections. Like all angelic greetings, it begins with a "do not be afraid." You see that a lot in Scripture. When there is an interaction between a human and an angel, it is "do not be afraid." right? Our natural instinct is to just, our mind goes crazy. We don't know how to handle it. We are instantly scared and shrinking in fear because of the presence of holiness. But do not be afraid. It almost seems like that's angelic protocol. Just come in and say, all right, I'm here. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. The angel then reveals the realities of the spiritual realm in a way that is seen nowhere else in Scripture. We know that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but this encounter really does flesh it out for us. The angel reveals the importance of praying through, reveals the spiritual warfare that is being waged beyond the curtain of our consciousness. And the angel reveals the way prayers are processed. You need to understand that Daniel's prayer was heard before the words even passed through his vocal cords. But it wasn't until the 21st day that he experienced a breakthrough. And it wasn't until the 21st day because there was a spiritual oppression. An evil spirit known as the Prince of the Persian Kingdom resisted the call for angelic backup until the 21st day. It's interesting to hear, and Daniel is a very deep book. He talks a lot about end times prophecy. And here it is amazing to have this conversation between one of the angels protecting Daniel and Daniel himself, and we get to read it. We get to see this interaction. I can't help but to think about the question that goes against the facts. What if Daniel had quit praying on day 20? Just like the Israelites who circled Jericho, or Elijah who got down on his knees and prayed for rain, if you stop praying through before the breakthrough, then you forfeit the miracle. I like to think of it as, it's kind of like a timeline. The problem is we don't know the end of it. Okay, so there's this time, this timeline, and you are praying along this timeline, and at some point, God says, all right, we're doing this, and he granted, according to his will, of course. But because we can't see it, and we don't know what that timeline is, it's very easy for us to get discouraged. I was going here earlier, so we give up. And when we give up, we reset that timeline. We reset it. If you stop praying through before the breakthrough, then you forfeit the miracle. Daniel ranks as one of the most brilliant minds of the ancient world. He was a Renaissance man 2,000 years before the Renaissance. With an unusual aptitude for both philosophy and science, he could explain riddles and solve problems unlike anyone in this generation. In his generation. And no one could dream or interpret dreams like Daniel. But the thing that set him apart wasn't his IQ. It was his PQ. Daniel prayed circles around the greatest superpower on earth. And because he got on his knees, he brought kings and kingdoms to their knees. Daniel didn't just pray when he had a bad day. He prayed every day. He didn't just dial up 911 prayers when he was in the lion's den, but prayer was a part of the rhythm and routine of his life. Prayer, in fact, was his life, and his life was a prayer. I'm sure Daniel prayed with a greater degree of intensity right before he was thrown into the lion's den, but that intensity was the byproduct of consistency. He approached every situation, every opportunity, every challenge, and every person prayerfully. How many of you have had the experience while praying that the more you pray about that topic, that you will experience more intense times of praying about that topic. Like something within your spirit just leads you to pray with a deeper urgency or a stronger conviction about what you're praying for, and you begin to feel it in your spirit, in your person, in your actual feelings, how you are communicating. You can feel yourself communicating differently. Intensity increases with consistency. It was that prayerful posture that led to one of the most unlikely rises to power in political history. You need to understand, Daniel was a prisoner of war. Think about this. Daniel was a prisoner of war. He is now living in his own country that had been overtaken by another country. So he's a prisoner of war. And yet he became prime minister of the country that took him captive in the first place. That doesn't happen. In our culture, in our context, and everything we understand, that does not happen. But in God's amazing timeline, in his amazing plan, it does. And we see it through Daniel. The ascendance of Daniel defies political science, but it defines the power of prayer circles. Prayer invites God into the equation, and when that happens, all bets are off. All bets are off. When we invite God to interact with us through any situation in our life, all bets are off. Maybe you've had that in your own personal experience, where you got to a point in life where you just knew, you know what, I can't do this, but you know what, I trust God that he will. And you begin to see the tide turning. And you begin to see things happening that you can believe but not understand. Because we've invited God to interact. Prayer invites God into the equation. When that happens, all bets are off. It doesn't matter whether it's in the locker room, the boardroom, the classroom. It doesn't matter whether you practice law or medicine or music. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. Listen to this. This is an equal opportunity scenario. If you stop, drop, and pray, then you never know where you'll go, what you'll do, or who you'll meet. We can't limit our life experience to who we are. If we do that, we are dependent upon ourselves and our own strength, our own ability to provide, and our own wisdom. That might get some of us further than others, but it's still not very far. But when we invite God into the situation, all bets are off. I'm going to read directly from Mark Batterson's message right now. So this is coming from Mark as I read this. One of my favorite paintings in the National Gallery of Art is the larger-than-life portrait of Daniel in the Lion's Den by Flemish artist Sir Peter Paul Rubens. Daniel is ripped to the point of steroid suspicion in this painting. And who knows, maybe it's an accurate depiction, but far greater than his external physique was his internal fortitude. His persistence quotient was unparalleled, and it's evidenced by his habit of getting on his knees 3 times a day and praying through an open window towards Jerusalem. Even when King Darius outlawed prayer, Daniel continued to stop, drop, and pray 3 times a day. Few people prayed with more consistency or intensity than Daniel, and what makes his persistence in prayer so remarkable is that he knew that his dream of rebuilding Jerusalem would not be fulfilled during his lifetime. If that doesn't up the ante on the challenge of praying and thinking long, I don't know what does. You can think of Abraham also being one who had promises, and he knew God would fulfill his promises, but he never got to see them fulfilled. Daniel prayed toward the city that he knew he'd never see with his physical eyes, but he saw it with his spiritual eyes. Daniel prophesied that it would take 77, or what amounted to our 70 years. 77s, excuse me. Is it possible for man to dream continuously for 70 years? If we read and believe the scriptures, Daniel did just that. He never stopped dreaming big or praying hard because he was thinking long. And that's what prophets do. They see what yet isn't there. And they believe that what they see will come to pass. Daniel wasn't just looking beyond the Babylonian captivity to the restoration of Jerusalem. He was looking even further into the future to the first coming and second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel was thinking in terms of millenniums. His prayers and prophecies were the seeds of our salvation, and we reap those blessings until Christ returns. The impressive thing about Daniel is that he knew that his prayers wouldn't be answered for 77s, yet he prayed with a sense of urgency. He prayed with a sense of urgency. I can relate with Mark Batterson in saying, as a procrastinator, if you know me, you know that I tend to do things last minute. I'm getting a little bit better. Now it's usually 10 minutes before instead of 5 minutes before. As a procrastinator, I would have been tempted to wait until the last week of the 69th year to even start praying. Can you sympathize? Can you maybe it's empathize? I don't know what we want to use there. But maybe you can see that line of thought. But Daniel prayed with urgency for something he knew would not be coming for 70 years. He had the ability to pray with urgency about things that were not urgent. Think about that for a moment. Even though things that we pray for may be a distant plan, or a dream or vision we know is going to take time to get there. It's not right around the corner. You're not knocking on the door at the beginning process of this plan. But can you pray with the urgency as if it was? The interesting thing about praying with urgency is we tend to focus on things we are urgent about, right? If something is rising up within us, and it's urgent, it's at the forefront of our mind. So if we begin to pray for things with urgency, even when they're not urgent, we still put the same priority on what we're praying about. Praying with urgency about things that are not urgent is an important dimension of thinking long. Drawing prayer circles often feels like a long and boring process, and it's frustrating when you feel like you've been circling your prayer forever. You start to wonder if God really hears and if God really cares. And sometimes his silence is deafening. We circle the cancer, we circle our children, we circle the dream, but it doesn't seem to be making a difference. So what do you do? What do? You stop, drop, and pray. Keep circling. Circle for 70 years if you have to. This might be an important question. What else are you going to do? If we've already gotten to the point where our only answer is prayer, we've basically exhausted all options this side of heaven. What else are you going to do besides give up and accept what we might call fate? We live in a culture that overvalues 15 minutes of fame and undervalues lifelong faithfulness. I don't need to restate that. I know we all believe that. We all know that to be true. But maybe we have it backwards. Just as our greatest successes often come on the heels of our greatest failures, our greatest answers often come on the heels of our longest and most boring prayers. But if you pray long and boring prayers, your life will be anything but boring. I'm a kind of a living testimony to life not being boring after praying and seeking what God was wanting to do. As a youth pastor before coming up here to Medford and taking on this position and this work of replanting a church and starting from the ground up, if there was one thing I preached to the youth time and time again, was that you don't need what the world calls fun and exciting, because that's just going to lead you down a deep and dark, slippery path. It's destructive. What you need is to sell yourself out for following God. If you want excitement, if you want to be determined and driven and have just this crazy experience following God, do it with all your heart. Do that willing to give up anything you can to follow the next step that He has for you. You will never have a more suspenseful yet fulfilling step in your life. We'll be wrapping up here in just a minute. Physical posture is an important part of prayer. It's like a prayer within a prayer. Posture is to prayer what tone is to communication. Does that make sense? Posture is to prayer what tone is to communication. If words are what you say, then posture is how you say it. There is a reason why Scripture prescribes a wide variety of postures, like kneeling, falling prostrate on your face, the laying on of hands, and anointing the head with oil. Physical postures help posture our hearts and minds. When you raise your hands in worship, it symbolizes your surrender to God. Okay, it's not some crazy outlandish act self-glorifying. It's none of that. It is you admitting that you surrender to the God we are worshiping. Sometimes you might see a clenched fist raised to celebrate what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross. And you are declaring victory, which He has won for us. And when you drop to your knees, you are demonstrating your dependence upon the Lord. There is nothing magical about the laying on of hands or bowing the knee or anointing the head with oil. Nothing magical, but there is something biblical about it. There is also something mystical about it. When we practice those prescribed postures, we are doing what has been done for thousands and thousands of years. And part of thinking long is appreciating the timeless traditions that connect us to our spiritual ancestors. What goes around comes around. We know this. You can see this in our culture's ideas of fashion. I'm scared of some of the stuff I see, but what goes around comes around. Human tradition is like a swinging pendulum. Singing hymns may be old school. I'm not saying it's wrong. In our culture's eyes, it's old school. But soon, given enough time, singing hymns is going to come back around and it's going to be the next cutting edge form of worship. One thing I know for sure is that biblical traditions never go out of style. They are as relevant now as they were in ancient times. And when we practice the prayer postures prescribed in Scripture, it helps us dream big, pray hard, and think long. As we close this series today, and we finish our fast tomorrow, maybe you don't have a habit of praying for lengths of time. That's okay. Progressions in our faith take time. We need to take one step to get to the next. And just like you might work out to attain physical health, and the more you work out, the longer you can. The same it is in our faith. The more we spend time in prayer, the longer you can. The more you read your Bible, the longer you can. So I would challenge you just to take the next step. If you've been devoting time in prayer, great. Take the next step and try for a little bit more time. I'm not asking you to turn into a Daniel who is praying consistently three times a day, every day. But I am asking you to take the next step in your faith journey this week. That you would keep it on your radar as a priority. Just because we're finishing this 21-day fast, I don't mean I want you to break that fast and return to what was. We've taken these 3 weeks to put a new normal in place. I would encourage you to keep praying. But maybe this time, spend some time on your knees in your room praying. Maybe this time, raise your hands in worship as you pray. Do something that is not your normal in showing that you are willing to go beyond where you currently are in growing. Does that make sense? If we stay in one spot, we will become stagnant. But if we continue to stretch ourselves and to continue to seek to grow, we continue to grow, we continue to flourish. I want to pray this morning to close our message, to close our service. If you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the text in Daniel that gave us a glimpse of what is happening in the spiritual realms. All around us, Lord, we know that there are battles between your angels and our enemies. Lord, we know that you are working everything out within each and every one of us here for your good, for your glory. We just ask, Father, that you would help us to see that we need to keep pushing through, to keep praying through, and to keep seeking you as a central part of everyday life. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this message and the word we read from Daniel. Just pray and ask that you would help us to take the next step in our faith journey this week. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out.